Hey everyone, welcome to the Pony Sync call, October 11th, 2017. We are going to take a look and see if there are any RFC-related discussion that needs to happen this week. One thing that I just wanted to, maybe I guess we can close the loop on here. I guess there was a new RFC opened, RFC issue ticket number 103, called Exposed Pony C Version of Pony Program. It seems like that one can probably be closed, given that the original filer of the RFC agreed that we could go forward with a different approach that didn't require the RFC path. I guess Theo commented on that ticket and asked if the original author could open up a new ticket in the Pony C repo. So I suppose we'll leave it open for now. But I think that's the main activity that's happened in the RFC repo in the past week. Moving on to the Pony C repo, take a look at open pull requests. So, let's see, 2272 was opened by Benoit this morning. Looks like there was an app there failure. It's already been approved, but I guess the app there failure explains why it's not been merged yet. I think there's not much to discuss there.
Yeah, I just pushed a fix to the Windows div. So I think that should that should resolve it. So we'll see.
So 2273. Has anyone had a chance to look at this yet? Oh, I see Matthias did.
Yes. So the changes to the HTTP to the client connection for HTTP look very reasonable. It's just some minor stuff about the tests. I will comment on that, and I think this afterwards we can merge it. So it's it was calling external pages, and this was failing on AppWayer. So Peter started a local HTTP server just for testing the client. I think there's not much discussion needed, but it's also not manageable right now.
Yeah, I see there's a couple other issues that I guess I should comment on
after
the call, because that one of the things I'm noticing is that the tests include some public types, which, because the standard library follows this pattern of having the tests in the same package as the actual package itself, having public types in there, will mean that you're adding inadvertently to the API of the package. So I will add a comment about that. And there's also, a few other maybe like formatting things to mention. But I'll make a note to do that myself after this call is over. I don't think so, but Benoit, is there anything you want to discuss about 2264? Sean's back pressure PR in progress.
I talked with Sean about the the implementation details that I brought, and I'm going to make the change since it needs a change to the optimization path. So yeah, should be good for now, unless one of you wants to discuss something specific regarding that pull request.
No, I don't think so. So 2260 is marked, needs discussion during sync. I marked it that way. This is Dipin's PR to change the behavior of a of writer.reserve because it the behavior of it was sort of like misleading and caused a ended up causing a memory leak in their program when it didn't behave like how you would expect. I don't know that we should actually discuss it on this call because we have neither. I was hoping to discuss it with Sylvan because Andy says in the most recent comment of that ticket that he and Sylvan came up with this API. So I'd kind of like to get. Andy says he doesn't remember why the API behaves the way it does. And he even dug through small conversations about it and couldn't find. He did find a mention that that they discussed that reserve does not necessarily do what people expect it to do, but that they never get around to changing it. So, I mean, maybe we don't need Sylvan's input. I'm not sure. Does anybody have any thoughts other than what's kind of already been expressed in the ticket? Matthias and I and Sean have been discussing a little bit there along with Dipin. My main concerns about what needs to be changed in this PR to go forward is I think that maybe reserve should get a different name because it still doesn't behave like array.reserve. And I also think the doc string should be clarified. Does anybody have any particular ideas for renaming other than what Matthias suggested, like using ensure capacity?
I don't have the full context on that since I'm not extremely familiar with this part of the standard library. But is it problematic to, would it be problematic to change the behavior of reserve to behave the same as array.reserve?
It might be because this buffered writer type, it keeps an array of byte sequences in its like in its internal chunks field, and to act like array.reserve, it would need to. It is already tracking the size, isn't it? I was going to say we need to track the total size of the buffer by keeping a tally of the sum of the sizes of all the chunks, but it does track the current size. So that's interesting. So with that in mind, it would not be problematic to implement something similar to array.reserve, it just wouldn't necessarily be that useful. But I do think that we shouldn't have this method be named reserve because this adds on to, this basically says, the old behavior would add more undefined bytes available, like basically make sure that there's space available for a certain number of additional bytes. This new behavior that Dipin's added that he and Sean and me sort of find to be like more useful is to say that I want to ensure that I have at least this many bytes available of empty space already allocated, so that when I start appending stuff, it's ready to be done. So, yeah, I it's kind of a long-winded answer, but I mean, to sum it up, yeah, I think that we could have something similar to array.reserve behavior. It may not be that useful for people's applications, but this should definitely get a different name, in my opinion.
So
okay. Yeah, I agree that the name should, if it doesn't do the same thing as array.reserve, it shouldn't be called the same.
So to defend Dibbin's suggestion, it seems to me that the reserve of the writer here, the new thing that simply calls under check, is going to behave kind of like array.reserve, but it considers the offsets that the writer has to the array, into its current array. So, and I also agree with Benoit that we should only keep reserve if the behavior equals the one from array, but I think it, to the extent that it can, it does, if under check, if the actual logic that was exhibited by the old reserve, like adding the size bytes as undefined, then we should definitely call it extend or extend capacity. So the names and the semantics inside the standard library should match up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, what this is doing is it reserves, it's like it's doing a reserve on the latest chunk, but not a reserve, like, sorry, yeah, it's acting like array.reserve on the current chunk, but not on the overall.
Yes.
My sort of issue with it. I mean, it is closer to array.reserve than the old behavior was.
So the point for keeping it would be matching names, like for similar semantics in the standard library, because the point against it would be to more closely model what it actually does, like ensure, but yeah.
I would actually
vote for, like, keep to keep reserve here for the new new method, like kind of accept the change that stands, or keep the method name, but definitely improve the doc string.
So you think that we should still call it reserve, but improve the doc string?
If you would have to convince me that the behavior that the new reserve exhibits is problematic if understood the same way as array reserve, like from the API surface, the writer,
What if we called it reserve in chunk? Like, so we have reserve chunks.
Yes.
What if we had reserve chunks and reserve in chunk?
Yes. A little bit long, but yeah, it describes what it does. maybe...
Do we have any other methods already that deal with the latest chunk? We don't. Although elsewhere we're calling the current chunk current. So maybe like reserve current.
But actually, this is. One could also argue that the model of internal chunks is kind of like should not be exposed in the method names.
Well, except for what you get out at the end is the array of chunks.
Yes.
So I mean, I think it's always going to be exposed because it's intended to be, right? It's supposed to be an abstraction for dealing with an array of chunks in a convenient way. Yeah. And then at the end, you get out the chunks that you could send to a write v call.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to maybe make a comment in the PR that like my new vote is to just call this method reserve current and improve the doc string and then merge it. That's my current vote. I mean, other people may have other opinions, but that's just how I'm feeling after going through this with you guys.
Definitely updating the doc strings.
Okay, I've added that comment. Let's take a look and see what other pull requests we have. Sean has a PRZ do not merge. Let's just skip over that one. Let's see. What is the status of 2103? Okay, it's on hold. Someone else can pick it up. Okay, so we'll skip over 2103. I think that most of the PR activity for today. Do we have or new issues. So, okay, 2271 is a simple one that somebody could file like a one-line PR fix for. We need to look at that. 2256, fairly straightforward. Someone just needs to investigate how to clean up my mess there, which might be me if I get time for it. 'Does anybody have any particular issues or other matters they would like to discuss?
Have we gone over issue 2182?
Okay. Looking at that. Oh, I see. You added the, okay, the label. Okay. We have not talked about that yet. Okay, let's look at that. So you brought up a special case. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, this is the this is the issue where we had a pretty long discussion about it in a previous sync call, and sort of came to a conclusion about a fix that was not ideal because it disallowed some disallowed some valid programs. But we weren't sure whether any of those valid programs would actually be use cases that would break. Like basically, this was a situation where we don't have a good way to disallow only the unsafe ones, and we were currently allowing some unsafe ones. So our only option at this point is to disable, you know, to disallow more than just the unsafe cases that may disallow some safe cases, like the one that the special case that Theo brought up here. So you mentioned we should consider a possible special case for as expressions. I'm trying to get back into the headspace of this ticket, but what about as expressions makes them allowable here?
Well, I thought that maybe it would, similar to how as expressions are sort of a special case with the capturing semantics, where we have that internal compiler thing where it doesn't actually, well, it pretends that it doesn't actually produce an alias when it really is underneath the hood. So I thought maybe that could apply here, but I'm not sure.
So the issue here is that if okay, so I'm trying to get back in the headspace of this issue, but we don't have okay, yeah. So yeah, this actually, let's see, collections list. I'm trying to think of, this actually might be an unsafe case that we're currently allowing here. I'm trying to think here. So this is not persistent collections, so A can be of any capability. And the issue is when the first type and another type in a union overlap each other if you ignore capabilities, as in this original example of I and I-32. where I was an empty interface. So yeah, I32 expands to I32Val, I expands to IREF, and the two are disjoint types when you consider capabilities, but when you ignore capabilities as we do at runtime, it is broken. So it's actually interesting here. I think this might actually be another example of a broken case. If you had a a list of any ref, where any is an empty interface that matches everything. Yeah, so this is interesting. So this would produce the wrong result if A were any ref, because in a situation where the list node item was none, this apply method would, at runtime, go and say, okay, does, at runtime we're ignoring capabilities, and so we'd say, is item in any? Does it match the any interface? And it does. So even though it's not any ref, it matches the it matches at runtime, because at runtime we're not considering capabilities. Does that make sense? So this actually is kind of a, like, it's not like a big problem, I think, for this collection, because the likelihood of somebody using any in a list may not be that great. I don't know, maybe it is. But that's interesting, because this is actually, list is actually broken in this case by this bug. And in fixing it is kind of a pain, because we would need to store, like, basically, like, figure out a different way to encode the none part. This item would still need to be the union type of A or none, but we would, in order to work around this, we'd have to also encode, like, a Boolean field that says whether it's occupied or not, which will actually put us into a higher size class and make this thing more memory hungry than it is. So that sucks.
So the issue with list is that the type parameter could overlap with none. So maybe we could use, instead of none, maybe we could use a private type that wouldn't be accessible from outside the package, and there wouldn't be any risk of it overlapping.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how we would tell the compiler that this is safe.
Yeah, well, I mean, it still wouldn't be safe. For tidiness' sake, we should be doing that already, right? We should have an underscore none in the collections package that is used for this, so that way you could have like a list of none, which is not very useful, but you would at least expect it to behave correctly, you know, like sort of pedantically speaking. But that wouldn't actually solve this problem though, because if you pass an empty interface as the type argument, it'll still match the your private type. And even if it's a different reference capability, the issue here is that the reference capability doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true.
So we would need some way of saying A is some type that is not whatever the other type is. So like A is any type that is not none.
Right. Yep. That's what I was getting at in our previous conversation with Sylvan about this in that previous sync call. I think in my comment I gave the date of the sync call if anyone wants to go back and listen to it. But that date was September 6th, 2017. So basically the right way to solve this, what I see as being the sort of like pedantically correct way to solve this is to introduce something exactly like what you said, where in our type parameter constraint, we can say that that type A is not a subtype of whatever else, or we could also say that whatever else is not a subtype of A, which I think is that's actually what we would want in this case. Yeah. In this case, we want to say that none is not a subtype of A. So in constraint language, you have to have some way of saying A is not a supertype of none. And then the compiler would verify that when you give the type argument, and then everyone is happy. Except we're not happy because that. I forgot about this aspect for a second. That would solve the part of the problem that does not include reference capabilities. But when you get around to reference capabilities, what we really need to be able to say is that this type is disjoint from this other type, ignoring reference capabilities. So that makes the constraint language even more sort of like esoteric, because you're not just saying that A can't be a super type of none. You have to say that A can't be a super type of any capability of none, or maybe ignoring capabilities basically. So maybe you would say like A is not a super type of none any or something like that, like none hash any. But that's pretty weird. It's flexible and powerful, but it's making constraints even more complicated. But it may not be avoidable unless we, unless we do capabilities at, unless capabilities stay present at runtime, which we want to avoid ideally, because that's part of kind of the selling point of how you can be sure that Pony does not incur any overhead for the capability system.
Regarding being able to express that a type shouldn't be a super type of another type with any capability, wouldn't saying that it shouldn't be a subtype of that of ISO ephemeral do the trick?
Yeah, I suppose so. It would look a little bit weird if you say, it would look a little bit weird to say that A is not a super type of none ISO ephemeral, just because none ISO ephemeral is kind of a silly type. But I think that, I think in terms of like does it enable that feature? Yes, but it's still not necessarily intuitive for that purpose.
Yeah, maybe we need an alias for that.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Never mind. That's not true.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think what we probably end up wanting is some kind of, like, special syntax, like, just for intuitive purposes, some kind of special syntax that says A can be in a match with none. Like, it's, like, matchable against none. And then the compiler would take care of translating that to mean that it must be... Because, you know, that right now the compiler, if you try to do this without type parameters, the compiler stops you, right? If you try to match none val against any ref, the compiler will tell you, hey, this violates runtime capabilities. It has an error message for that. So really, we just need to have some kind of shorthand in the constraint language for saying that it has to be something that is matchable against this other type. Rather than getting into the weeds in your constraint of saying, okay, it can't be a super type of none ISO and it can't be a subtype of none ISO. I think it has to be both.
That seems to, in many ways, defeat the purpose of having union types.
What do you mean?
If we have some completely separate syntax for saying, oh, you can match against this type, then why would we have union types?
Well, it's the syntax would be saying not that it is that, like, it wouldn't be the same as a type union. It would basically be saying that this type has to be something that can be used and matched against in a type union. So it's like you're saying that it has to be, like, compatible with being in the same type union as this other type.
Okay.
Like, the syntax wouldn't be the same as saying A, you know, or none. It would be saying that that things won't break if you put A in a union with none. So, okay. Given Theo, I appreciate you finding this issue that, you know, that breaks in the standard library if we go forward with the recommended fix, because because the standard library already has this in, like, in list, and it's not clear how we would get around it without something that that would, I don't know, be a lot less memory efficient at runtime, because like I said, I think adding just one more bool field here would spill us over into, I mean, I think we're currently, like, on a 64-bit system. We're already operating at, like, 32 bytes here for the size of the field. So I think that would spill us over into a higher size pool. But anyway, yeah, so the fact that this breaks that, and the only way to work around it would be to make things less performant, leads me to believe that making this language change, this syntax addition to the constraint language, should be a higher priority than we previously thought. So I will open up a request for RFC in the RFC's repo as an issue ticket on this matter. And then if anybody has syntax ideas for what this syntax should look like, feel free to either just comment in that ticket or go ahead and write up an RFC for it for further deliberation. But that's probably what we should do with this one. Anybody else have something else they want to discuss on the sync call in these last 9 minutes? Okay. Okay, well, in that case, thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for taking over. Okay, I stopped recording.